Everyone has events that unfold in their life and change the way they perceive the universe around them. For some, it's a personal event, something that happened to them and forced a stunning realization. For others, it's a large-scale event, a tragic occurrence that makes them look at their neighbors and friends and either lash out or band together in solidarity. For me and my generation, it was the latter. I still remember, as a boy, the freedom that was allowed to me. I didn't have to look over my shoulder whenever I stepped out the front door, wondering if this was the day that the rebels would finally get to me. On one morning in particular, I woke up later than usual. It must have been nearly 9 o'clock in the morning, about an hour after I was supposed to be at school. I must have been 10 or 11 at the time, but I rushed downstairs to find my parents in the living room, glued to the television. Through groggy eyes, I remember asking them what was happening. I don't remember how I phrased it, but I remember their response as clear as any memory in my mind. "Alderaan is gone," my father told me. "The rebels destroyed it." Welcome to the Unresolved Podcast, a podcast all about stories that are unresolved in nature. I'm your host, Michael Whelan, and this episode of the podcast is one that really hits close to home for me. Like I said in the introduction to the episode, I have distinct and clear memories about the beginning of the Galactic Civil War and the aftermath that followed. This episode is about the destruction of Alderaan, the theories surrounding these supposed superweapons seen at the time, and the ascension of one family to the top of galactic politics, the Skywalkers. Anakin Skywalker was a Jedi Knight, born a slave on Tatooine to a single mother. Very little can be found about Anakin Skywalker's early life as a slave, but around the age of 10, he was taken in by Jedi Master Qui-Gon Jinn and Jedi Knight Obi-Wan Kenobi. Right off of the bat, we have an odd situation arising. The Jedi Knights at the time only accepted recruits that were very young, raised from infancy by the Jedi Order itself. So from the get-go, we have something weird going on. Anakin Skywalker being given special treatment by the Jedi Order, who would later go on to mar the galaxy with claims of corruption and would be charged with treason. Throughout his training, Anakin Skywalker fell in with an odd social circle. He was immediately befriended by Naboo politicians Jar Jar Binks and Padme Amidala, who would also later be associated with later Emperor Sheev Palpatine. The former would give the Emperor his power, and the latter would try and take that power away. Unfortunately, much of Anakin's youth is shrouded in secrecy. We know that he was present for many of the Clone Wars battles, fighting on behalf of the Old Republic and the Jedi. But at some point during this multi-year conflict, he would switch allegiances and begin supporting then-Chancellor Palpatine as he converted the galaxy into a dictatorship. This shows a conflicted young man with an ever-shifting ideology. Did he ever truly support the Jedi, or did he see them as a means to an end? Because this wouldn't be known for some time, Anakin Skywalker would go on to have a brief love affair with Senator Amidala. This was forbidden by not only Anakin Skywalker's Jedi Code, but by morality itself. A member of the legislative branch having a secret love affair with someone of the executive branch is a reckless thing. This love affair would result in not one child, but two. And these two children would go on, much like their parents, to impact the galaxy in disastrous ways. One can only guess why Luke Skywalker went into hiding on his father's home planet, under the same surname and with his only remaining family, but it was done under the careful eye of Obi-Wan Kenobi, Anakin Skywalker's most trusted friend and mentor. One can only guess what kind of training or preparations that Luke was receiving on this planet. But the other twins' exploits became common knowledge. Raised and trained by one of Emperor Palpatine's small council members, Leia Organa was given the best education that money could buy. From the get-go, she was raised with a career in politics in mind, given from her inclusion on the Imperial Senate at the age of 16. At this point, Senator Amidala had died a suspicious death, the means of which were never released. This brings about another question. did Anakin Skywalker, now parading around the galaxy in a fancy black costume under the nickname of Darth Vader, plan on having his children become galactic powerhouses? Because that time would be quickly approaching, when they were simply teenagers. Shortly before the destruction of Alderaan, Senator Leia Organa met with Darth Vader and Grand Moff Tarkin, a powerful Imperial executive who seemed to be in the middle of a power struggle with Vader himself. We can only guess what this conversation entailed, but we do know that the plans to an Imperial superweapon dubbed the quote-unquote Death Star by Rebel propaganda were hidden within two droids. As we all know, droids are not given free will and follow the will of their masters. In this case, these two droids once belonged to Anakin Skywalker, and they had been in the employ of Leia Organa for years. Did Anakin Skywalker, now called Darth Vader by almost everyone, simply allow these droids to fall out of his grasp just to threaten Grand Moff Tarkin? Also, what led to Anakin Skywalker taking on this secret identity of Darth Vader? Did he not want the galaxy to be aware of what was happening? It was a power struggle taking place at the center of the Empire's military might. The following events are as ridiculous as they sound, and involve Anakin's other missing child, Luke. According to Rebel sources, a battle plan orchestrated by Leia Organa involved her long-lost twin brother, who had surfaced after years. I would like to mention, however, that General Kenobi, the esteemed general from the Clone Wars and Anakin's closest friend and mentor, seemingly disappeared from the galaxy at this time, never to be seen again. This is where the Battle of Yavin happened, and historical records have been shaky about exactly what happened. Shortly before the battle took place, the planet of Alderaan was destroyed by mysterious means. Rebel sources claim that the planet was destroyed by the Imperial superweapon known as the Death Star, but I couldn't find any references to this weapon actually existing. It would take a superweapon with the power of 1,000 capital ships to have the same kind of impact that this supposed Death Star had, which is a very unlikely and impossible feat. However, according to these same Rebel sources, the Death Star was able to quickly make the trip from Alderaan to Yavin, a trip that would be no easy feat for a simple freighter, let alone a superweapon the size of a small moon. Apparently, a single squadron of X-Wing fighters were sent up by the Rebel Alliance to battle with this moon-sized superweapon, and almost all of the possible witnesses were killed. Except for, of course, the two Skywalker boys, Anakin and Luke, and Han Solo, who would later go on to have a child with Luke's sister, Leia. Solo was also known as a criminal who claimed to have made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs, which would be like me claiming to have run a marathon in less than 2 kilometers. The documentary known as Luke's Change goes into great detail about how this battle is so suspicious, with Darth Vader deciding to enter the fray in a TIE fighter and being the only Imperial survivor. His rival, Grand Moff Tarkin, conveniently fell victim to the Rebel assault. The destruction of the so-called Death Star, an event still surrounded by controversy and skepticism, not only propelled Anakin's children to the forefront of the rebellion, making one a leader and the other a war hero, but it also helped elevate Vader himself to the forefront of the Imperial hierarchy. To many, it would seem that the Skywalker clan were consolidating their grip upon the galaxy. They were now evenly placed on each side, as if preparing for any outcome. This would definitely fit in with Anakin Skywalker's exploits as a youth, jumping ship from the Jedi Order to the Empire at an opportune moment. Were the Skywalkers either the most naive, lucky individuals of the galaxy, or political opportunists taking advantage of the galaxy itself? I try not to let my bias affect the podcast too much, but I personally lean towards the latter. This was just the first major encounter of the Skywalker gang, but it wouldn't end there, not by a long shot. The Skywalkers would go on to be on separate sides of the war for years, constantly evading each other at every turn. But it's very likely that Anakin Skywalker and Leia Organa held a secret meeting on Hoth during the Imperial invasion of the planet, and Anakin let his younger daughter escape his grasp one additional time. That's not it, though. Leia Organa would flee with her lover, Han Solo, to the planet of Bespin, meeting up with notorious criminal Lando Calrissian. Calrissian would go on to make an arrangement with Anakin Skywalker, an arrangement that hasn't been revealed to the public in the years since, and a secret weekend retreat would be arranged that allowed the father to meet up with both daughter and son, That's right. Darth Vader would go on to have secret meetings with both Luke and Leia on Bespin, letting both of them suspiciously escape just as panic ensnared the gas giant. The coincidences were just becoming too grand, too ridiculous to be believable. Something was going on, with the Skywalker clan at the center of it. I haven't spoken too much about the relationship between Anakin Skywalker, aka Darth Vader, and the Emperor himself, Sheev Palpatine. Palpatine was a senator from Naboo. As I stated, a work associate of Padme Amidala, Anakin's forbidden hidden wife, who would later go on to become elected Supreme Chancellor of the Old Republic. His tenure would go on to become legendary, as he would oversee the transition of the Republic into a dictatorship, with the assistance of Anakin's childhood friend, Jar Jar Binks. It would appear that Anakin Skywalker was a political idealist, because he turned his relationship with Palpatine into an arrangement of power, keeping his children hidden and secret from the Emperor himself. We could only guess what he had in store for them, but this plan would begin to take roots years later, when the children were fully grown. The relationship between Palpatine and Anakin Skywalker was notoriously rocky, with the former constantly undermining the other, and the latter growing exceedingly bold in his plots against the Empire itself. Cell phone footage, recorded by a disgruntled employee of Lando Calrissian's gas conglomerate, revealed Anakin extending an offer to his son, offering him a cabinet position if he would help Anakin overthrow the Emperor himself.
You can destroy the Emperor. He has foreseen this. It is your destiny. Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy as father and son.
It's very possible that Anakin had learned the political playbook from the Emperor himself, and was planning on hedging his bets on both sides. Palpatine's rule as Emperor would be mired by claims of corruption and rumors that he had supported the Separatists while serving as Supreme Chancellor during the Clone Wars, so it's possible that Anakin was doing very much the same thing. Perhaps his children, Luke and Leia, were his backup option should his own rebellion not come to fruition. The Galactic Civil War would eventually reach a point at the system of Endor, on a backwater forested world with the same name. According to Rebel sources, the Empire had somehow managed to construct another Death Star in just a matter of years. This one was apparently much bigger, and had a better firing mechanism, although all of this could really just be Rebel propaganda. Leia Organa, one of the leaders of the Rebellion, was with Han Solo on the planet below. Coincidentally, the Empire never even attempted to fire at the planet itself, instead choosing to pick off capital ships belonging to the Rebellion, which seemed minor when you consider the alleged firepower of the superweapon itself. Luke Skywalker met with Anakin Skywalker the day before the battle, and apparently the two held an extended summit together and with the Emperor, who was presiding over the battle. Little is known about what actually went on in the Emperor's chambers, but it eventually ended with both Emperor Palpatine and Anakin Skywalker never being seen alive again. From this point forward, the galaxy would be a very different place. The Empire itself would go on to fall, no longer led by Palpatine, who mysteriously disappeared at the Battle of Endor. Rumors lingered, which would claim that Anakin Skywalker had killed him to assume control of the Empire. This could be backed up by the footage that shows him offering his former cabinet position as the Emperor's right-hand man to his son, Luke, who is also present at this Bespin conference. Leia Organa would go on to become a figurehead for the emerging New Republic, essentially acting as the Darth Vader figurehead behind the true Chancellor, Mon Mothma. In all of this, Anakin Skywalker was nowhere to be found. Luke Skywalker would claim that he held a secret funeral for his father, Anakin, on the forest moon of Endor the same night that the Battle of Endor took place. But all that could be found of Anakin Skywalker was the armor he had utilized when acting as Darth Vader. This is the same kind of shady disappearing act that was pulled off by General Obi-Wan Kenobi, the war hero of the Republic and later traitor of the Empire, who was also one of Anakin's closest friends and confidants. I find it highly unlikely that Emperor Palpatine escaped the Battle of Endor alive, but the same could not be said of Anakin Skywalker. He had already made it a habit of changing allegiances and his identity, so why couldn't he do it again? In the years following the Battle of Endor, the New Republic would begin its expansion, with Leia Organa taking on a role of power in this new government. Just like her father, she had now served a major role in two forms of government, and seemed fit to take the reins from her own mentor, Mon Mothma. One of the first acts of legislation, overseen by Mon Mothma, was the deconstruction of the Republic military. This was seen as a major threat to galactic security by citizens everywhere, but a pretty confusing move. Many theorized that Leia Organa seized this opportunity by later forming the Resistance, an armed militia acting outside the reaches of government, but that wouldn't take precedence until later on. In the meantime, Leia Organa and her outlaw husband, Han Solo, would give birth to a son, Ben. Ben would be a reckless, power-hungry child, so succumbed by anger and rage that his parents would send him off for training with Luke Skywalker, his war hero uncle. In the years since the Battle of Endor, Luke had become a bit of a recluse, beginning to train a new order of the overpowered commandos known as Jedi. We could only guess as to what his goal was in training these Jedi, as the previous generations of the zealous warriors had only resulted in corruption and tragedy. However, things would take a deadly turn. At some point during his training, Ben Solo would be the sole survivor of a purge aimed at eliminating the Jedi. Many have theorized that Luke himself was behind this mass murder of men, women, and children, so besieged by jealousy and selfishness that he couldn't stand the knowledge that his power was being usurped by others. This theory would be aided by the fact that Luke would flee the galactic scene altogether, as if running away from an investigation into the murder. Ben Solo would now change his own allegiance to the growing faction of the First Order, descendants of the Empire's militaristic cult. His leader would be the mysterious, unknown entity known only as Snoke. Who exactly is this Snoke, you ask? Well, you tell me. Many have begun to theorize that Snoke is actually Anakin Skywalker, who fled from the Battle of Endor and took control of its own faction of the Empire. This can be aided by the knowledge that little is known about Snoke himself, but that he bears a strong resemblance to the battle-scarred and aged Anakin Skywalker. Many have theorized that Snoke is an ancient alien figure, but what do you find more likely? That an old wizard appeared out of nowhere to take control of a large Imperial contingent, one that is very racist and xenophobic, or that Anakin Skywalker continued his increasingly strong hold over the Empire after the Battle of Endor. Either way, it seems that the Skywalker clan have continued their same political playbook as before. To combat the First Order, probably overseen by her father, Anakin Skywalker, and her son, Ben Solo, Leia Organa began the armed militia known as the Resistance. This would mean that the Skywalker family was now in charge of the galaxy's primary military organizations, giving them unknown control over everyone and everything. And rumors have persisted that Leia Organa is herself behind this entire plot. According to her and other New Republic sources, the First Order was building a huge, large-scale superweapon. Sound familiar? And they planned on threatening galactic security. Leia used this perceived threat to attack the peaceful planet of Takadana, destroying it in the process. Is it possible that Leia was herself behind the plot to destroy Alderaan years beforehand? One can't help but notice the similarities between Takadana and Alderaan, and the fact that the only witnesses to the incident are Resistance warriors, loyal to Leia herself. Was Alderaan an inside job? I hope that, in the upcoming power struggle, you take this knowledge to heart and realize that Leia Organa isn't the beacon of peace and justice that she claims to be. Tragedy and destruction seem to swim in her wake. And with both her father and her brother fleeing from the public eye after huge disasters, one can't help but wonder if she is behind it all. Perhaps, just like her father, she is hedging her bets by having her son take control of the opposite faction. Either way, I think by now you realize just how dangerous and disastrous the Skywalker hold over the galaxy has been. One can pinpoint important actions and choices made by the Skywalker clan that led to, and continued, prolonging war and suffering. I just hope you don't forget that, and the tragedies that befell Alderaan and Takadana. I still remember Alderaan, and the mistakes that happened before, during, and after that horrible tragedy. Let's not make the same mistake with Takadana. Let's hold our militaries accountable, and that starts with the Skywalkers themselves. Happy April Fool's Day, everyone.